Our God is with you.
And also with you.
This is a story and a lesson a Canaanite woman taught Jesus, recorded in the book of Matthew. At that time, Jesus retired to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came from that district and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word and ignored her. Jesus' disciples came and asked, "Send her away, for she keeps calling after us." And Jesus said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage and said, "Lord, please help me." And he replied, "It is not right to take food from the children and throw it to you dogs." And she said, "Please, Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." And Jesus paused. "Woman, your faith is great. Let it be done as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. My brothers and sisters, this is the good news of Jesus.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As with most of the prophets in the scriptures, Jesus was a great example of a person who spoke prophetically, nonviolently in his resistance to the political and religious people of his day. And for those who did not understand how they had gone astray from the covenant, the real covenant of God. But did you ever think you'd hear Jesus be so prejudiced, so hateful, actually so racist? That's what we need, that he needed correction. And maybe you didn't hear the gospel that way because you know who we say he is, or those we try to make excuses for Jesus in this particular scripture, saying, "Well, he was just teaching the apostles." But if we look more closely, we see that Jesus was operating within the cultural and ethnic biases of his day. And even he needed to be challenged to grow an awareness and an understanding. As I mentioned before, we often, as human beings, pull religious texts into our own security and reinterpret them. I mean, look at the atrocities that were committed in the name of Jesus, our Holy Savior. The Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, European witch trials, colonial forced conversions from the 15th to the 20th century, the Inquisition, the anti-Semitism. Oh, and that's a good one considering Jesus was a Jew himself. The Holocaust, systemic corruption and slavery in the United States. You know, Georgetown University and its church, it was built by slaves. How about that? We as humans sometimes take scripture and blend it into our own egotistic ways. Our history as a Catholic church in the United States said that if you were not white, you could not attend the seminary. Cardinal James Givens ordained Father Charles Randolph in Baltimore in 1891. But he went to the seminary because he passed as white. He was the first black man to be ordained on U.S. soil because of that passing of white. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made it. Now, I say this not to incur judgment, because judgment really doesn't help. I say it to incur reflection. Reflection sometimes on our own stuff that we need to deal with. So, if Jesus was fully human, why wouldn't Jesus be vulnerable to the same stuff we are? I mean, Jesus, he needed some spiritual transformation too. This Canaanite woman, she stood up in great need. And she stood up in nonviolent resistance. She called Jesus to that transformation. And if you don't believe me, let's take a minute to look at the culture that Jesus grew up in. The relationship between the Israelites and Canaanites in the Hebrew Bible, which oftentimes we call the Old Testament, the relations of the Canaanites was defined by theological conflict, land claims, strict religious separation. In the Old Testament, it describes the Israelites' belief that they were commanded by God to drive out the Canaanites. Israelites were to destroy the indigenous Canaanite nations to prevent religious corruption. I'm pausing because does that sound anywhere near what's happening today? I mean, think about it. Now, even though the historical and archaeological studies suggest a more complex reality of joining together in shared culture, the Hebrew Bible books like Joshua describe the takeover of Canaan. The major cities were defeated and much destroyed. Deuteronomy claims the Israelites could not marry and could not make covenants with Canaanite nations. But those are passages, but there are also passages like in Judges and Joshua where the Israelites had not fully driven out the Canaanites. And it leads to long periods of cultural and religious friction. The underlying prejudices existed, and I would say they still exist today. But we need to be aware of that. So embedded in the culture of the day, we see Jesus operating out of that same bias. My point is not to say Jesus is affected, but my point is that the woman had nonviolent resistance. And the importance of us when we see that, for us to have it too. I mean, I don't also want to scrub out the people who were there. Think of Rahab. Think of Ruth. They're in the genealogy that's in the beginning of Matthew's Bible, Matthew's scripture. And they were not Jewish. So there was something in there that came about that said, we need to be accepting all people. How could they be in that lineage of the Messiah if they weren't included? Matthew keeps that going. So let's take a look at also what was left out of today's reading. The first reading, verses 3 through 6 were left out. But listen how those go. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord shall surely exclude me from his people. Let no eunuchs complain, I am only a dry tree, for this is what the Lord says. Can't do that. That was left out of the reading. For eunuchs who keep the Sabbaths and choose my way and hold my fast and my covenant, to them I give them the temple and the walls of memorial, for they are better than the sons and daughters. Whoa. Think about that. And I don't know why they left that out, but they left that out. So we got to take a look at sometimes unintentionally, because it becomes part of our paradigm, we don't think of those things. And it calls me to really take a look at what's going on. And what was the hold the covenant? What was the covenant? I think there's a guy named Jesus. He said to love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole self, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the covenant was about. And Jesus, he did practice that nonviolent resistance. That's why the scribes and Pharisees had so much trouble with him, because he was putting up in front of them to take a look at theirs. But he had it in him. And he had to realize that. On the way, this desperate mother seeks help. Jesus is quiet. And all of a sudden, the disciples' prejudice kicks in. And Jesus agrees with it. What I think sometimes we miss when we clean up is Jesus says, he makes that harsh thing, he refers to her as a dog. Now, referring to a woman as a dog What's that word that matches that that we use in our language? I think if need some help begins with a B. That's pretty crude what Jesus was referring to and what he was calling back. And I understand that this is something that we need to take a look at, that I need to take a look at. I wonder if the woman's daughter wasn't the only one who was healed in this situation. Maybe Jesus was healed and went through a conversion. And if he does, maybe we all need to. I mean, I sit here, I grew up as a person of privilege. I'm white. I'm heterosexual. I grew up in middle class America. I myself have a hard time imagining Jesus, but I can't focus on being unwilling to see the healing that he had and the healing that I need and the healing that we need. The story about Jesus is a major challenge for me as a human being. It calls me to really look hard at the prejudices that I have that I'm not even aware of. That this isn't there isn't anybody who doesn't have those hidden prejudices. Again, if Jesus needed it, why wouldn't we all? Sometimes I'm blind to the prejudice and I judge my brothers and sisters. Why do I do that? I need to stop long enough to hear the resistance of another's challenge, to find myself open to re-education, and perhaps to follow by a spiritual transformation that I might see the world expand around me. I heard an interview this past week, and it said, you know, it's difficult for a person to understand when they're being paid not to understand. Think about that. You know, my prejudice, I'm paid by being a white male. And that can block me from seeing unless I begin to take a look at a broader perspective to seek understanding of others. That's why nonviolent resistance against prejudice is essential for me to experience if I'm to grow spiritually. It's equally important for me to participate in nonviolent resistance, to become aware of the injustices. You know, there's a lot that's saying now about people not resisting in our world today, and we need to be about that. Why is resistance important and matter? I'm going to read from an article that I've just received. Resistance often emerges when people believe that fundamental rights, dignity, and justice are threatened. And while not every resistance movement is successful, many are profoundly influenced in expanding of the civil rights, ending colonial rule, preserving cultural and religious traditions, and at the same time, they evaluate the resistance moving and consider both aims and recognizing the development of moments. We need to do it. It calls us all to take a look and be active in that. You know, there was a Spartacus slave revolt that happened in 73, 71 back then. The Jewish revolts in 66 to 135. There's been early Christians resisted the pressure of Roman worship. During the Protestant Reformation, many individuals resisted established religious authorities for reform. Resistance of colonialism. Look what happened in the American Revolution in the beginning, the British rule. The Haitian Revolution, 1791 to 1804. How many Asian and African and Latin American nations resisted European colonial rule in the 19th and 20th century? We have people in our own age. Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, solidary movements that are going on in Poland, people of power in the Philistines to end Marcos' dictatorship. We need to take a look at that because sometimes we do have these blinders on and we need to open them up for others that we can see. We need to be able to gather that intelligence to see what's sabotaging our structures in the United States. the hiding and rescuing from persecuted people. We all need to be a part of that. And I believe we need to do it as peaceful, nonviolent resistors. Because when we get violent, then we come with our judgment, then we come with our ugliness, and we need to seek to understand why others are so frightened of looking at another way of doing it. Peaceful demonstrations, civil disobedience, strikes and boycotts, underground publications, legal challenges, those are all things that we need to happen to bring us all in line with the same thing Jesus had to deal with. He had to back off and say, "Woman, your faith is great. You will be healed." And I think that's the way that we heal the things that are around us. And the healing needs to begin with me. I open up for...